Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship Class number 236. How to Overcome Temptation, part 112. And we're still dealing with the vital subject in this world today, particularly the temptation and sin of anger and wrath. Our foundational verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Take heed to it. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And I want to focus your attention on a few more verses that we have been dealing with, found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 to 32. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I want to remind you that this book was written to Christians. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to understand this morning that you're speaking to us. You're teaching us, you're rebuking us, and you're training us and telling us how we ought to act like Christians from the inside out. Have mercy and grace upon us who name the name of Christ. For just like you're teaching us this from your holy word, no doubt many Christians have failed at this. And so this is the reason why we need the teaching, the rebuking, the challenging. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our failures and faults in any way. As we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive others, crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. And speak to our hearts today as Christians, and those who are among us who are not Christians, Lord, help them to hear the gospel and to be saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, continue to pray for me and my voice. Ladies and gentlemen, this passage, taken as a whole, contains a series of commands for Christian living. As I said, this passage is for Christians. So evidently we need it. Dene. The first two verses deal directly with the issue of anger that apparently too many of us do not have control over. Just read your newspapers and witness some of the things that go on even in churches. One church was having a business meeting and they had to clear out the church. Folks started fighting in the church due to anger. The third verse, verse 28, is an exhortation against stealing and an admonishment to work not only for one's self, but so that one might have overflow money to give to others, to be a blessing to others. But I want you to focus on the fact that we need for some Christians, so-called, to stop stealing. We have people in the church who are supposed to be born again. Not only do they steal from God, but they steal from people. We have some who understand technology and they're trying to swipe money out of people's bank accounts. Trying to steal people's identity. And yet they call themselves Christians. I guess they also call themselves Robin Hood, trying to steal from the rich to give to the poor. It just so happens that the poor is them, thieves in the church. I told you the story before about how a pastor drove up to the church in his car one Sunday morning. He had noticed that many people were not tithing and giving, and he chained up his car to the pole. He put one of those locks on the steering wheel, put some locks on the wheels, wrapped a chain around the pole with the car. And the church members were walking upstairs into the sanctuary, and kept asking, "Pastor, what are you doing?" And the pastor said, "I'm chaining up my car and locking it up. Because if you people will steal from God, surely you'll steal from me." Thieves in the church. Liars in the church. While the remainder of the verses do not address anger directly, they do show us ways in which we ought to act instead of anger. Now let me just say here, there are some people in the church and there are some people in your family, they don't have a problem with anger, they have a problem with devils. And the devil is always angry. Some people in the church and some people in your family are demon possessed or demon influenced, and both are bad. And no matter what you say to them, no matter what you do for them, they'll never be happy. They are constantly, perpetually angry, mad, and difficult to deal with. And they're so demon-controlled that they like it that way, but yet they claim to be Christians. So we're not talking about those folks. These people are demon-possessed, demon-controlled. If you're angry all the time, mad all the time, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, and the only time you crack a smile is when you can have your selfish way, you're dealing with some demonic activity going on in your life, and you're probably not born again. You're probably not saved. We're not talking to you. You need to be saved. But we're talking to these explosive folks who normally seem rather placid, but they erupt like a volcano, and much damage is done. Yes, in the church. Remember now, we're talking to Christians. We're not talking to lost people. We're not in the business of training lost people. We're supposed to be in the business of saving lost people. Can somebody say amen? We're not in the business of training lost people, trying to make lost people good. We're in the business of teaching and training saved people to do what they know deep down in their heart by the power of the Holy Spirit to do on a daily basis. Verse 29 tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oftentimes people who are angry, and by the way, some of you need to be angry and get angry because you got the devil and evil in your family and in your church. Just don't sin. And here's one of the ways that people sin with out of control, damnable speech. Much of our anger is expressed through words or verbal communication. The Greek word translated as corrupt means rotten, wicked, evil, beyond poor quality, bad, unfit for use, or worthless. It means nothing. It brings nothing to bear. You have people who are angry in your family, and they say empty words that don't mean anything. They blow. They roll their eyes like a demon out of hell. They say ungodly things under their breath. They'll curse you under their breath. They'll call you stupid. They'll call you a dummy. They'll call you a fool under their breath, not realizing that they're in danger of hellfire. Whether our anger is justified or not, we often speak words in anger that we regret. And by the way, there's a whole lot of apologizing going on in our society, isn't it? Former Vice President Biden is thinking about running for president, and he's on an apology tour now for things he said back yonder. Things he did back yonder. There's a whole lot of apologizing going on because people get angry and they say things they should not say. And if you don't deal with it, it's going to be on your conscience until the day you die. Whether our anger is justified or not, we often speak words in anger that we regret. Don't say anything that you're going to regret. Now, you may be angry about evil in your family or in your church, and you choose to say certain words to get your point across, and that's fine. But if you're doing it to hurt somebody, and you are calling them words related to fool, such as fool, you're in danger with God. You're in danger of hellfire, Jesus said. Words that we wish we could take back. You can be angry and say some hard things to people who are evil, stubborn, rebellious. You have to rebuke them. Rebuking is not pretty. It's not fun. You might have to get on their case. That's fine. But if you're doing it out of anger and you're not doing it to benefit them, to help them, to help them snap out of the evil that they're in and that they're doing that's harming the ship. You're pedaling down here and they're drilling a hole on the back end. It's okay to get angry about that and stop them from drilling that hole lest everybody drowns. So, beloved, when our anger cools, we realize the worthlessness of our language. And by the way, let me hip you to something. If you are born again, if you are saved, if you are a child of God a follower of Christ for real, you don't need anybody to tell you to correct it. You're going to feel badly about it. I don't care if it's just one word. You're going to feel guilty if you're born again, if you're saved. And you're going to try to find a way to correct it, apologize about it, and make it right. You're going to go before the throne of grace and say, Holy Father God, what I said to him, what I said to her was wrong. Please have mercy upon me and forgive me of my sin. That's how sensitive the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you. Not only that, if you've been saved a while, the Holy Spirit of God, when the words come up to your mind to say them and they're wrong, the Holy Spirit of God will say, don't you say that. Amen, somebody. Don't you say that. The words will appear in your brain. And God, the Holy Spirit of God inside you, say, don't say that. I know that you're angry. And you can say this, and it's hard too. But you can't say that. It reminds me of the popular book, You Can Eat This, But Not That. You can say this, but not that. This right here is hard. They will know that you're angry and that you mean business. But don't give them a piece of your mind, because that's all you got, like you want to do. And then you're going to have to come crawling back to me, asking me to forgive you for that wicked word you said. The Holy Spirit will stop you in your tracks, or the Holy Spirit will try to stop you in your tracks. And so, beloved, when our anger cools, we realize, if you will, the foolishness of our words, the worthlessness of our language, but the damage has already been done. How about it, dear Christian friend? Some of you are phonies. You go to church talking all sweet and wonderful towards your husband and towards your wife and about your children, but you can't wait to get in the car, to get on their case, and use vile language, language that God does not want you to use, and abusive language, and go home doing the same thing. And then you have some who are under authority. They are smart enough not to say it out loud, but they say it under their breath. They say it in their minds, their hearts. And God is just as concerned about that. God is concerned about all anger that is being manifested in evil ways. So stop being a hypocrite. Tell the church when you're around, tell the truth when you're around folk in the church. Tell them how it really is. Be honest. And tell the truth at home. Don't be two-faced. Talking out of both sides of your mouth. Explosive, ungodly anger at home, and then lying and saying how wonderful your husband is and your wife is and your children are around other Christians who you think got it going on themselves, you hypocrite. Keep it real. Keep it real. And make sure you practice real talk. And stop trying to put off that you got it all together and you don't. And so, ladies and gentlemen, take that to heart as we close. And for those of you who are with us today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and before I deal with that, let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, Lord, I had so much more to say, but enough has been said about that today. And we pray that everybody who heard it will practice it. Confess their sins and repent. Turn from their evil ways. Humble themselves down. and speak the truth in love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. And if you want that today, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins on the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead, and pray and ask him to save you, he will save you. So please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. It's called the sinner's prayer. Pray it phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you. I've done evil in your sight. I've broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon my soul, and forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. As I now believe in you, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways, and help me to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. And I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.